as Tanya said, you know, living in the same house, we're aware of how much work goes into it and how much discussion and you know, getting the right light and the right tech and everything else. So I really appreciate having that, and more just the kind of thoughts of those songs. And funnily enough, even though this often happens to me, you know, when we put a service together, there's two ways of doing it. You either kind of plan it meticulously and get everything sorted out and come up with a plan and tell everyone what it is, or kind of what we do, which is kind of let the Holy Spirit do most of the work, most of the heavy lifting. And so often I arrive at church, or have used to arrive at church, and then find out that the worship team, that God have been speaking to them with exactly the right songs for that Sunday, and it dovetails together, not because we were really good at it, but because He knows. And that happened again today. You know, the first song, "You Asked Me to Be Your Friend." That's what God told me to talk to you about this morning, and I'm just going to take a few minutes to just ask a few questions about that. Because as a church, we have a strap line that says, "On a journey with friends to freedom." Some of those kind of we've had other strap lines, and some of them you kind of look back on and think, I don't know what that was all about, but they seem good at the time. But this one really kind of puts and encapsulates what we're about. We're about connecting with one another, and together helping one another connect with God and move from into a place of freedom in every area of our life. I've written down here, true freedom is returning to your original habitat. We weren't designed to live in lockdown. We figured that one out. We are malfunctioning because of lockdown. We are malfunctioning because we're designed to connect with people, and not just the kind of meaningful relationships that we're missing out on, just some of the just the normal day-to-day interaction that we would normally have in our life that we kind of moan about in the past. Now we're crying out for, because we're starved of it. So we know that our natural habitat, our original design, our state of being is in connection with one another, and that's where we're trying to get to, a place of living in that freedom. And so we need friends, we need one another. But actually, the friend that I want to talk about today is God. We actually need Him as a friend. And that song that Ella and Campbell sung was, "He asks me to be his friend," or "He asks me to be a friend." Now, you've got to answer that question. Do you believe God is asking you to be his friend? And what does that mean? And do you think it's even possible? So let's dig into that a little bit more. Friendship. I mean, sadly, there are not a huge amount of examples of friendship that are perfectly, you know, you can kind of perfectly look at, because friends are human, and friends let you down, and friends can get it wrong. But actually, if you take out the bits of friendship which actually mean the most, friends are interested in what you're doing. You know, they're the people who say, "How was your day? How, you know, what did you get up to today?" When I you know, some of what you miss in lockdown is that, you know, I don't come back through the door or have a different day than Tanya. So, you know, normally I would ride back in on my bicycle, and she'd say, "How was your day?" And I, you know, but now it's not just a politeness, it's because she's interested genuinely in how my day was. And equally, I would ask her, you know, "What have you been up to?" And, you know, "What have you been doing?" And so on and so forth. That's part of friendship. When you meet friends, or you have meet a friend you haven't seen for a while, you know, you ask, "How's the family? How's your wife? How's your kids, if they've got any?" You're interested in things that your friends are interested in, things that you love. You know, they know you well enough to know, "How's this going? How's that going? How's, you know," they're part of your life, and they want to know those things. And again, not just out of politeness, but they genuinely want to know. And then, you know, they want to ask, "How are you?" Yeah, often people will say to me, "How are you doing?" And it kind of sometimes catches me off. I think, and sometimes it's easy to make mistakes, but and make kind of excuses. But actually, friends genuinely want to know how you're doing, and when you trust a friend, you're able to tell them how you're doing and be vulnerable, and that's what we were designed to be, honest and open and vulnerable and connected. So, if you apply all those things to kind of to God, it's an interesting thing. One other thing about friendships, it doesn't really matter about the gap. I've got a couple of friends who, we haven't met up for a number of years, and we met up in October when there was a little bit of an easing of the lockdown, and we had a weekend together, and the gap doesn't matter. Instantly, the gap disappears. Your friends are not saying, "Oh, where have you been? Oh, why haven't you called me?" They're just glad to see you, and you take the relationship from there. And again, that when you apply it to God is amazing thing. There's something fundamental. You've got to believe that God wants to be your friend. I find myself surrounded by Christians who are very nice people, and others who aren't Christians, but all who share the same opinion that God is very different to the friend that I know. And even when they start to read the Bible, they read it in a very different way. When I read the Bible, I see God's friendship because he's my friend, and therefore I've experienced his friendship, and therefore I see his friendship throughout the Bible. But other people seem to see something very different. Let me throw you out a few examples and see whether these things will change maybe your perspective if you've got one which is slightly different to mine. In James, it talks about Abraham. Abraham's sort of very the beginning of the Bible, and in James 2, at the end of the Bible, it says Abraham was called God's friend. In Genesis 18, we see God actually appearing in human form to Abraham, and as he walked with him, and he was discussing the planned destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah because of the kind of the absolute stuff that was going on there that was just unspeakable. And God says, shouldn't I consult with my friend? Shouldn't I let Abraham in on this? Because he's my friend and we should get his opinion on it. It's interesting. And then they bargain with, Abraham says, you can't destroy them. There's loads of good people there. And God says, well, is there? But there's a friendship. There was a dialogue. There was a coming together. Moses, when God in connected with Moses, it says he, after he'd had an encounter with God, he set up a tent of meeting. And it says that Moses sat face to face with God as one talks to a friend. So as I read the Bible, I see these interactions all the way where when you connect with God, you connect and a relationship and a friendship forms. Jesus said, who was Jesus came to reveal the Father. He came to reveal God's who God was, and he says, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends, to his disciples who he'd come and spent 3 years with. So when I read the Bible, I read friendship, 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 friendship. I read connection. And I know sometimes people come back with, well, yes, we can't be too friendly with God because we can't forget that he's holy and he's awesome and he's and I kind of agree with that, but I don't see God pushing that agenda. I see us pushing that agenda. Even in Isaiah, it says that in Isaiah 6, it says in this famous passage, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw God in the temple, and this was angels and smoke and people singing holy and holy. And yeah, he did say of Isaiah that he said, oh, who am I? I'm a man of unclean lips. And he was aware of who he was in comparison to God. But if you read the passage, God doesn't boom out going, yes, you're right, I'm really holy and you should be worshipping me. What he does is he just takes a coal from the fire and touches it on the lips of Isaiah and says, your guilt is taken away. Your sins are atoned for. So he instantly does away with everything that would stop the friendship. And I believe that that's what God does every single time, that he doesn't play on how big and how mighty. That's just who he is. It's like having a friend who's got unlimited wealth. Actually, if every time you meet them, they go, I just need to remind you how much money I've got and how little you've got, or vice versa, that you constantly say, oh, have you met my friend? They've got so much money. They could buy everything. And that it tires after a while. Yes, those things are true, but actually, that's not the basis of the friendship, and that's not where we get the value or our love for God. It comes out of he asks us to be his friend. And we often think, well, God loves us, but does he like us? I don't do this, but I do know of kind of families where parents are quite happy to say, I like that child more than I like that child. I love them all, but I like this one and I like that one. And it's, I'm not sure it's particularly healthy, but God loves you, but he also likes you. He likes who he's designed you to be, and he wants a friendship with that. Freedom is not just, right, we're free of this world and we get to spend an eternity. I mean, if you don't like God and you think he doesn't like you, why would you want to spend an eternity with him? Or are you going to kind of hide around heaven, around the corners and hope you don't actually meet him? I mean, that's, I've been in factories where the boss comes out and everyone suddenly starts to look busy and on their best behavior, and God's not like that. There's a famous story in the beginning of the Bible of Jacob and Esau, and these are brothers who've kind of fallen out, and they both become independently wealthy, and Jacob is planning to meet Esau again after a long time, and he's so scared because again someone has said to him, one of his workers has said, yes, we went to your brother Esau and now he's coming to meet you with 400 men with him. The information was correct, but the motivation wasn't correct. So Jacob is panicking at this point, and it says he starts sending down the road like parcels of cattle and things to appease his brother. And then he divides up his stuff because he's afraid that he might attack one, and he strategized to how to not be destroyed by what he believes is an angry brother. Esau, when he gets all this stuff, he said, well, what is all this stuff? And they belong to your servant Jacob. They're a gift to my lord Esau because he's coming behind, And so Jacob thinks he's doing the right thing. He's appeasing his angry brother with all of these sorts of the right things to do. And sometimes maybe we can feel like that's the way that we should be treating God. He's a bit ticked off with us, and he's a bit peeved, and so what we need to do is start doing the right things, and then we'll come once he's calmed down a bit, maybe by the time we get there. And that's, I believe, just the wrong way of looking at it. You can read the story in Genesis 32 and 33. Finally, Esau meets Jacob, and here it says he runs up to him, he embraces him, he throws his arms around him and kisses him. And they wept. And Esau looked up and saw the children and said, who are these with you? And Jacob exclaimed, these are mine. And suddenly, all of those expectations disappear. He's just a friend. He's basically, I've missed you. What's going on? Who are all these people? This is lovely. This is their weapon. They're embracing. Now, that's because someone, unintentionally maybe, projected a motivation onto Esau that wasn't correct. And I believe that many times well-meaning Christians and well-meaning others project onto God things that shouldn't be projected onto him. He's not. I read some passage this morning because I believe it says that God walked with Adam in the cool of the day. Some people have translated that verse as, an angry God came with a kind of a hurricane wind to confront the Adam and Eve who've sinned. And you're like, these are theologians. What chances has the world got, everyone else got, if the people who kind of believe this stuff think that of God? So ask God, ask him yourself. What do you feel about me? What do you think about me? What do you like about me? The second song we sung, it says his voice will silence fear. And actually God's voice will silence everything else. His voice to say the truth will speak the truth, and it will silence fear. Involve him in your life. That's what being a friend means. You're being involved. We don't involve someone we don't trust. I've got an issue in the house. Okay, I need a friend. I need help from someone else. So my first thing is, well, who is a friend? Now my neighbor across the road here, I know he likes me. I know we wave at each other. We get on well. I know he's for me. So I'm going to go to him first. I've got another neighbor who is very capable, but I'm not convinced he doesn't think I'm a bit of an idiot. So I'm not. He's my second choice. A complete stranger down the road who I don't know at all. Why am I going to go to them? Why am I going to involve them? I don't even know what they're going to think if I talk to them. So we have to understand and start to learn and start to journey with God to find out who he is and how much he wants to be a friend. Lockdown. It's funny because I was saying this to as I was talking with the Lord this morning, as I was talking to my friend. Lockdown, we're told to stay in you're told to stay in your house. If you do try and interact with people, mostly they're scared of you and they avoid you. And the ones who want to talk to you can only do it for 40 minutes on Zoom, and sometimes either yours or their microphone and video is muted. And that kind of sums up lockdown, and God said to me, yeah, that kind of sums up eternity for me. That feels sometimes what it's like for the Trinity. They're kept somewhere else, they're locked away. When they do try and interact with their creation, they're generally considered to be a bit scary and to be avoided, because no one quite knows what they're going to do. And our interaction with them seems to be, well, as long as we do it every now and again on a Sunday, and maybe we don't expect to hear from them, and we don't think they're expecting to hear from us, and it doesn't sound like much of a friendship. It sounds a little bit more like lockdown. So, look, we can't explore the whole thing here, but I want to challenge you. Meet God for yourself. If you don't believe he wants to be your friend, at least find that out for yourself. Don't take someone else's word for it. That whole thing of that, though, that person doesn't like you. They think you're this and that and the other. That's schoolyard stuff. Go and find out yourself. What's your problem? You don't know me, I don't know you. Let's figure it out. So actually, go and seek God for yourself, meeting for yourself, at least do him the service if you think he exists. But maybe even if you don't think he exists, at least give him a chance to establish that. Make your own judgment on whether he's a friend or whether he's a taskmaster or I'm happy with that. If you go to God and he berates you and tells you off and sends you out with a flea in your ear, fine, but I would find that very unusual, because everyone who I have known who's connected with God has never found that to be the case. And I can stand on what I know of my experience with God, and seek his friendship and seek all of those things which we talked about today. I believe that every time we connect with God, he does everything to make us comfortable. The road to Emmaus, so many other stories we could talk about, a way God actually created an environment. And people say, yes, but when's he going to tell us we're doing the wrong things, or when's he going to tell us that? Well, look, hey, I've got friends who, if and I would hope, as good friends, if they think I'm doing something completely stupid, they would tell me. But I trust them to tell me in love and not reject me for it. And also, often they'll say, we think you're doing a crazy thing, we better come with you so you don't get into trouble. That is God's heart. Hey, you're going in the wrong direction, but I'm still going to put my arm around you because I love you. And even if you are going in the wrong direction, I'm coming with you to help you. And he doesn't take away our free will, and he doesn't take away his friendship, because otherwise, you know, it's just the same as this environment which we live in, which is not what we were supposed. It's not our native habitat. It's not our natural surroundings. So those are a few thoughts to challenge you this morning. Let me pray for you, you know. And yeah, ask the question, God, are you asking me to be your friend? And am I a good friend to you? And could I be a better friend? And could we have a better friendship? So Father, I thank you. I thank you that every day is walking into a new opportunity to be a friend with you, to be a friend of God, to be known by you, to spend time with you, not just in a kind of religious way, but in a real and natural and easy way, that you walk with us, that you talk with us, that you laugh with us, you cry with us, that you're with us in every situation. And Father, I just thank you that something of your heart of friendship towards us would captivate us, that we would start that journey to freedom with you as well as others. And Father, I thank you that you long to put your arms around us. And just as we're feeling all those things of how disconnected we feel to everyone else around us, that's just an inkling of what you feel and have felt and continue to feel, longing to be close to those who you love and you created and who are your children. So today, Father, I thank you that we can take heart, but also, Lord, I pray that you can take heart, that actually that more people will see you as the loving father and friend, and less of so many other things that have been spoken about you but really are not true. So Father, today just bless and continue to bring hope to all those who are listening and watching this, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm gonna hand back to Tanya.